This is Black Scott.
This is Love Jade.
And we are He Said, She Said, a podcast where we unpack current and controversial topics concerning
men, women, and the roller coaster that is our relationships with one another.
Look out for new episodes dropping every Sunday at 12 p.m. Pacific.
Tune in wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I've already been telling people I've been going through this depression. The reason why is because I haven't found a girl yet that I actually, not that I actually like, but I like strongly.
So you mean depression as in opposed to elevation?
I mean depression in a comical sense, not actual.
Okay. I was like,
semi-actual.
It's like, why are you real with the listeners out here?
Really deep and intimate now. Yeah. Still are.
No, we still are. We're still doing all our business. So.
But yeah, it's like, man, I have not come across what I actually like strongly like in a long time. Yeah. In like a while.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, like it's different. You're just kind of meh.
So you mean like right now, are you saying like since you've been dating, or are you saying like now that you're not seeing that person you're talking to anymore?
Since after the breakup.
The relationship breakup.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like trying to not tell your business, but trying to get the answers.
Trying to still investigate. I feel like it's like this. It's like the, what's it called? Goldilocks and the Bears. Uh-huh. And she tries all of the porridges and all the beds.
Right.
So I'm trying to porridge too hot.
Too cold.
Too cold. The bed's too rough, too firm, too hard. This one's too soft. I'm trying to find the just right spot so I can go ahead and, you know, lay up in the bed with the porridge.
Have you ever played? Sorry, this is off topic.
What?
Have you ever actually played this game with people, hot and cold, where they're looking for something and it's like hot, cold, warm.
That was the most frustrating game.
It's the most frustrating game.
And I feel like God right now is playing with me on this hot and cold game of life.
Oh my God. It's the most frustrating thing. And yes. Yes, it's irritating because like sometimes you find somebody that like you think is cool. Just bring it back around to what you were talking about.
Wrapping it back in.
Yeah, it's you find somebody you think is cool, and it's like, oh, not quite, though. Like, they were cool, but not coolest.
Right. There's just one non-negotiable or something was off. You see, it's tired.
Yep, that's why I was telling y'all on our previous episode. I'm doing arranged marriage at this point. It's not cultural for me, so I don't want to...
I'm getting more with the community.
Yeah, I don't want to step on toes. It's not for cultural reasons. It's just I think my parents can make a good choice, and so... Yeah. I'm just going to let them line up some candidates.
And not right now, but later. You know what I mean? Like the 30. I'm going to give them a date, and they'll just work towards that date. So you got to rush because I'm not trying to do any of that's like 35. So you got to get 10 plus years to work it out. So it's kind of an ongoing project. Like those constructions you see in the street that start but never get finished.
Yeah.
It's going to be something like that.
Yeah. And I do want to acknowledge that I've met some cool people, you know, out there. Shout out to them. Like whether things worked out or not, I did meet some cool people. So I don't want to, and I'm still talking to some cool people, you know, so I don't want it to seem like it's hopeless out there, but overall, the game is very ghetto and I'm tired.
My thing is, has always been, and I think, cause it's really hard to find someone you're compatible with because everyone has a different walk of life, different story.
But also and I have no idea what I'm talking about because I wasn't alive back then. But I feel like back then, I don't know exactly what I mean by back then. But you know, back then in the good old days, it just seemed like things weren't as busy. It seems like you had a job, regular 9-to-5, come home. And I'm not knocking entrepreneurship or working hard, but it just seems like in this society, you have no downtime for yourself, and that's okay, right? Like everyone just accepts that it's fine that I just work all day and that's it.
With no actual purpose.
Right, or like I go to school all day and that's it. And it's like so busy. You know what I'm saying? Like we just live in a society of like, we don't have breaks anymore. You know, like back in the day, they used to come home for lunch. Literally like the traditional model, it would be like, you know, the mom stays at home, right? And so she'll like, the dad will be out working and he'll like come home and she'll like make lunch. So they can like eat together before he goes back to work for the rest of the workday. Most people nowadays don't even get a lunch.
Here's the thing.
They eat on the go, or they're still working while eating, or like, oh, I'm going to try to grab a energy drink or something from the vending machine.
Crash a monster real quick.
And for students, it's the same thing. Like, I'm a student, it's the same thing. It's like, we don't have any free time, and that's just acceptable in society today.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to find time to actually date nowadays, you know what I mean? It's harder.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this is engineering. I don't want to go too, like, mega or meta on this, but I was watching one video, one guy was talking about, we really have the jobs we have and all this for no reason. We've innovated enough to where people actually don't have to work with the machines we have, the technology. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we can completely make every cashier checkout register line in most stores self-checkout. And just like you said, put a monitor there and a tech guy in case something goes wrong. So those people who are working those jobs don't need to work necessarily. I know people have to have a purpose and work, but we've done enough in society to not have to. We're almost overly innovating at this point.
We are.
And so, like you said, working with what purpose to no end? And then at the cost of what? Life, your life, your family, spending time with friends, or developing relationships between family and friends and connections and going on trips and experiences. And I think this dating game and marriage and all that is taking a back seat and almost being sacrificed in place of this over-innovation, you know what I mean? People working, you always got to work and do this and do that and stay busy. For what? What's the purpose, really?
Yeah, no, and that that is a huge thing. And what was I going to say?
Wrapping up what you said, because, like, dating life is hard and time. And it's like, you're right. It's like that with, well, at least I guess in America speaking. It's like that for most Americans.
Oh, I remember I was going to say. Yes, I agree with that. And I think it does make dating hard, and it makes even sustaining a relationship hard. But what I was going to ask you was, do you think it's worse in bigger cities? Like, I just heard a lot of my friends complain that dating in LA is terrible.
Yeah.
Because, and not saying it's only men, but just because, you know, my friends who I'm referring to date men, it's like they're inconsistent. It's like it seems like, oh, this is a cool guy. I met someone cool, you know, like no complaints, but then it's just inconsistent. You know what I mean? Or like you pop up 3 months later and it's like, why did you think I was going to wait 3 months and not hear from you and that we would continue? You know what I mean? Like, so I just heard that it's very inconsistent. And do you think it's because LA is such like a, LA is like a prime example of what we're talking about. That type of city where everybody, moving fast, moving all the time, no rest, and the culture, never sleeps. Really,
the culture is vain.
Everybody's hyped up on coffee.
A lot of vain people come here for vain reasons. It's not like a most wholesome town that really stresses values. Mm-hmm. It's not pretty hedonistic. A lot of druggies, a lot of selfish people, a lot of vain people, people out for their own purposes, a lot of fake alliances and friendships, you know, for the sake of, growth and making money and connections. Oh, so when you really lay all that out, it's like, well, no wonder why you can't date. You can barely have friends.
Yeah. Because
everyone's out for each other's throat in the most business fashion. Everything's a business.
Everything's
a brand. You're dating this person for a brand or shaking hands with him and her for a brand. Oh, we're going to ditch my hangout or our meetup or our brunch. Mm-hmm. Oh, because your friend knows this person. Got to build the brand. So being seen with this person who I don't really actually like but helps my brand is better than meeting with a friend. And, rekindling that connection and establishing.
I do like.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and to that, I want to say, first of all, it's not the natives because LA natives were all cool. So shout out to us. We just be minding our business.
LA natives are we're out of here.
We just be minding our own business.
I don't even hear. Think about this. I don't know if you know this, but most people I talk to from LA are not from LA.
Yeah.
Most people I talk to, I'm from anywhere else. I'm like, man, I guess all the LA natives are moving to
we're gone.
Texas.
We're moving back to where you came from.
The South, exactly. We're swapping places. Seattle, Arizona. Yeah.
I think I'll be out here for Vegas. A while. I like it here, though. Like, I don't like LA proper. Yeah, I just mean, like, I think I'll stay for a minute and see.
These earthquakes have been tripping lately, huh?
Well, see, I wasn't over here when that happened.
Right here on the fall line, so I'm about to go ahead and slide.
I like it. I just don't like LA proper because it's so busy and it's too much going on. But I like living in the outskirts of LA. No. Sandy Shores.
Sandy Shores. That's where I would want to be.
No, but I like not the far outskirts like that, but the immediate outskirts, the suburbs. I feel like I could live there because it's like I still have access.
More like South Bay, more like.
Even a little northern, Pasadena, Ontario.
Yep.
Chino, Temecula. Even I would move south, somewhere southern towards Temecula, but
kind of that Riverside type area.
Yeah. What do I call that area? You mean like the Ontario?
Yeah, what is that called? Because you have South Bay. But what is that far?
I just be east? Like east on the 60.
Exactly, the 60 over there, over near that area.
Over in there,
the 60 in them.
Right. But,
and then what's the North one again? The North Freeway? The 101? Is it? Or is it the 5?
No, they both go actually. The 101 goes north on the coast. The 5 goes north more like inland.
Inland. So the 101 and 5.
Yeah.
That's also north. So the 101 in them. The 5 in them over there.
Now we're heading toward the Bay Area. So
the Yay Area.
It's a whole different situation up there. But
exactly. I'm just as bad to keep it a buck.
It's just as bad. Okay, I can speak for San Francisco. San Francisco is just as bad because I live there. And it's like LA on steroids because San Francisco is 7x7. I don't know if you know that. 7 miles by 7 miles. That's how big the city is.
Yeah.
And there's millions.
So it's 40, wait.
Of people there.
7x7. I was going to square it at first. Say 49?
There's millions of people there. Versus like across the bridge, more so like Oakland and stuff like that. It's more chill to me. It's more chill than LA and San Francisco.
San Diego actually messed with too. San Diego's like a chill younger brother.
I highly mess with San Diego, but there's too many. I don't agree with the politics of San Diego.
San Diego's,
and I don't want to be around people who, and your politics is one thing, right? That's whatever. That's like debatable. Personal. That's personal, right? But when your politics lean toward hatred, that's a bit much for me.
I didn't even really realize that the couple times I went, it was chill. Because I thought about it like this. Mm-hmm. You got California. The only really three places that matter, to be honest, are LA, San Francisco, and San Diego. I think San Diego, or I think that's like the chill youngest brother.
You know, I like it, and I don't think you see it. But I think just for me, I think I am driven a lot by my morals. To where, like, it's hard for me to even work with people if I think they're doing something that I morally totally disagree with.
Right.
So that said, that's how I feel about San Diego. Like, it's a nice place to visit, but can I live there? You know, and I know a lot of people, what we were talking about just now, a lot of people who leave California, a lot of people are leaving to, like, Texas, specifically Houston. And it's a thriving city. There's a lot of Black people there. Too. It's very diverse, you know, across all cultures. But I cannot live in Texas because it's a big racist Republican state, and it's like it's just hard for me to morally be there and know that I'm gonna vote and it's not gonna count for anything anyway, because like Texas is a deep-seated, like the people in politics, it's deep-seated, like old money, you know, and I just can't, like, it doesn't sit right with me to honestly live there.
That's
you
the
know
case,
what I mean,
might as well California, because I believe California is just as rotten. It's just they do with a smile.
Well, see,
because people in Texas, at least for me in my mind, they would value some type of individuality, mm-hmm. and just do your own thingness. Mm-hmm. California is just not. It's a bot town. We all got to think the same and move. It's like ants or animals or like not animals, like computer systems. Like it just, we all got to move the same and think the same. No individual opinion. You can't do your own thing. None of that.
I think Texas is more like certain parts, right? Okay.
Slave you with a smile. So I think California.
If we take out the race, it sounds so weird to say this, but if we put the racism to the side,
put the racism to the side
real quick, and we just look at Texas, I think I do like that because, like, yeah, it's more like, hey, individual landowners and homeowners, and I mind my business and you mind yours, and I protect my property and you protect yours.
As long as my friends, you got no one's rights.
Right.
So. Property
so it life. Does have a more mind your own business mentality, which I do like, and I agree with you on that, and I agree that LA can be like that, and I think that's part of the reason why we started this podcast, is because I think the world is so polarized, regardless of what side you stand on or sit on. It's just like
somebody's got to find the common ground.
Yeah, like, and no one wants to do that. And even if you don't find common ground, do I have to hate you?
Right.
No, I don't. But I feel like today in society, it's like if I don't agree with. Right, if I don't agree with what you want me to agree with, oh, I'm canceled. Or, like, it's very polarized. I agree with you.
Say this or do this or move in this fashion. Or, like, I can, like, not like, I can respect something without having to support it.
Right.
And the same goes for me. You can respect my boundaries, my beliefs, whatever, and not necessarily have to support it.
Exactly.
I go to the gym. If you're, like, hate the gym, you can respect, oh, he goes to the gym and all that. But
right.
You have to support, I mean, you don't have to. I don't mind. Just don't.
Yes, and it's like we're so quick to cancel people just because I have a differing opinion. It's like you wouldn't even sit there and try to understand what they were saying. And even more than that, like you probably didn't even understand you.
Yeah.
So what am I trying
exactly.
to say? I'm getting upset. So. But
triggered.
it's one thing where it's like you didn't even try to understand where they were coming from or try to understand their perspective.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that that leads to misunderstanding. So now you're canceling them and you didn't even really understand what they were trying to say. Exactly. Right. So if you disagree, that's one thing, but you didn't even really hear them out.
Yeah, and you're,
because it's like buzzwords, trigger words.
And you start pre-framing.
Yes,
It, like, for example, I worked for a boss who was an atheist, nicest guy in the world. Or I say this, went to hell, I'd be a couple spots in front of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I believe. So I say all to say, you know, see, people think, oh, atheism, and automatically pre-frame this person to be a bad person when he was the most kind person. Most, you know, gracious person, giving person, loving person, nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
But if you just start pre-framing people, like I said, based off factors without really getting to know them and sitting down and having a conversation and finding common ground, you know, you get in that mindset and you guys end up being polarized for no reason.
Yeah, like our government's about to shut down right now because people
again
can't agree. It's literally divided along party lines instead of people just doing their job and realizing, hey, you know what? We're going to have to compromise on both sides. No one's going to get exactly what they want here. Right. And that's for the betterment of the government. Now, if we're talking about obviously negative things like laws against, you know, like racism or laws that are just things like, you know, where things is just very obvious. We all should be on the same side of that. That is a different conversation. But what I'm talking about, is they're up there arguing about how to spend money, right? Like they're trying to pass the budget and it's just like, you're not going to get everything you want from either side. You know what I mean? You're going to have to compromise.
Give it to us anyway.
Yeah. And I think I just have a heart of understanding, I think, because I think about, I tend to lean more. This is not even a political podcast, but it's whatever. I tend to lean more left just because I'm very big on a lot of the social justice that the left stands for. Mm-hmm. I really align with, and so I'm just a big lover of people and I just like people to have their freedoms, and so I tend to lean more left, but I can understand why it would be hard for people who make a living off of like the fossil fuels and things like that, like if that's what they do for their to feed their family, I could see how it would be hard for them if the government's just like, oh, that's illegal now, we're gonna not do that. Like I understand the importance of climate change and I believe in it, but it's easy for us to say because we have these everyday, you know, cushy office jobs. You know, we're not out there, you know, doing the hard work in the field to feed our family. And so when you pass laws like that, that's going to affect someone's family. And so I can understand why, hey, that might be something we want to do gradually instead of just snapping our fingers, that's illegal.
Right.
Because that's going to affect somebody's family and their children. But you see what I'm saying? Everything's so polarized that you don't sit there to think about the individual. It's just strictly divided along party lines, and it just sucks because we're not thinking as human beings. We're thinking as parties.
And we're not thinking how to work together is how to get mine. I think
this
mindset is directly affecting everyday men to women or, you know, everyday relationships, you know, between people, you know, in a romantic sense. So you think about, you know, well, since I'm a man, I, you know, interact with women. So it's like, in my mind, if I'm out for my own purposes and she's out for hers, we can never agree.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're married or in a relationship or anything, whatever the context is that we're, you know, involved, it's like, well, there's got to be some type of common ground. People call it compromise, and people put not a lot of negative connotation on compromise. Like, oh, someone's got to lose out. But I think it's all about finding the common ground, and that's the true point of it all.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, well, I got to lose something. Both people have to sacrifice something.
Right. Both people are going to lose in some way.
And in life, you have to sacrifice. Like, for example, if you're going to be a business owner where you have to sacrifice stability, you know, for your, you know, business or your goal.
Yeah.
If you're doing 9-to-5, you sacrifice, you know, a little bit of freedom and autonomy for stability. So you're always going to sacrifice, and everything's hard. Same thing with relationship. And people don't realize that. You got to sacrifice.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. That's interesting. I want to ask this. I feel like a lot of people struggle with this area, and it's all like, it's always, am I getting everything I need? Am I getting everything I need? Not thinking about this is a we situation now. If you enter a relationship, this is a we situation. I feel like a lot of people don't understand that, and they aren't prepared to make sacrifices, but everybody wants a relationship, you know? Do you really
ask you this,
or do you just want a dog?
Especially from a woman's point of view, because I sometimes believe that in certain situations, it's women who tend to be more selfish, and I'll tell you why.
More what?
More selfish or self-centered. Not like in a, I guess, in a crucial way, but mm-hmm. just in general. And I'll tell you why. With this example, and I'll probably give them another. But when the man and the woman go on a date, and they come back, and they talk to their friends and family, what does the man say? Or what's the man's conversation like? Oh, so what'd you do for her? Would you guys go? What jokes did you sell her? What'd you do for her? Is the mm-hmm. conversation. How did she feel? Is the conversation. Did she like it? Mm-hmm. When the women go back and talk, again, in my mind, in my perspective, it's not about how did he feel. It's how did you feel? What did he do for you? Where did he take you? What did he buy you? You know what I mean? What did he say to you? How did you feel? Not focus on the man at all. And so when you walk in a relationship, in my mind, the premise that you guys had on the first date becomes a premise that happens, that solidifies itself within a relationship.
I agree. Oh, were you done?
Yeah.
I agree with that, but I want to push back a little bit because I believe there's a reason why. I think the reason why is because previously, let's say, I don't know, let's just say the 60s or something, I don't know. That wasn't the conversation among women. The conversation was, oh, like, so did he like you? Like, how do you feel like it's going? Because the pressure was on women, like, you need to find a husband. You need to get married. You need to settle down. And it was always what the man wanted, like, oh, like, you want a husband. You're getting up in age. You need to learn how to cook. You need to learn how to sew. Do all this. Like, oh, you're concerned about your career. When are you going to settle down? When are you going to, you know, men don't wait long, you know, and stuff like that, right? Like, aren't you going to give this man some children? It was always that. So I think nowadays the narrative has shifted a little bit to say, like, hey, you know what, as a woman, what do I want? And I think women in general, like, we tend to be the one that makes the sacrifices all the time in relationships traditionally, right? Historically. And so even I find myself sometimes being like that in relationships because women are just taught to be submissive, to be passive, to you know, be the pleaser, people pleasers, you know? And so I feel like that sometimes even gets to me where it's like I end up putting myself last, you know? And I've been in situations where I did that. And then I woke up one day and was like, oh my God, I'm not happy, you know? And so I feel like that is true. What you said is true, but it's only a pushback from how it traditionally used to be. So now it's like, hey, you know what? As a woman, I know it'll be easy for me to get caught up in this man and everything about him and in this relationship or whatever, but I need to take a step back and think about, hey, am I getting what I want here? Am I happy? Or do I just like him? You know what I mean?
Interesting. You know, I just thought about this because I can push back and say, I disagree. Cause you know, back in the day, if I'm countering, a man was dependent on him to bring in all the money, work countless hours. It's not just for his wife to either, you know, divorce him and take half or sleep with him or sleep with another person or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this man did all his hours providing for this whole woman's life and his family and gave his life to doing so just for it to go wrong. So, you know, I feel like we can now debate and disagree all day, but I feel like now I'm coming to the conclusion of both have risks, right? Mm-hmm. And now, cause I'm all about leveling the playing field. I'm not about playing the violin about, well, men have it so bad or women have it so bad. I want to highlight that about with men cause people don't speak on that. Mm-hmm. But again, I truly believe the playing field is equal as far as sacrifice and risk. But I want to say was this, it's interesting we talk about this now. It's almost like I realized something when you're speaking. It's not the humans that are flawed, it's the premise of the relationship.
Yeah.
And the context of it and how the individual goes in. You know, we're talking about marriage the other day, and the problem with marriage is not the humans that aren't working it out, it's the agreement they're getting into. Mm-hmm. It may not work for them or may not fit for them. They should create their own agreement based off them. And I feel like with us following these rules of society as far as relationships and marriages go, mm-hmm. we end up making these sacrifices and end up being unhappy. Why? We don't even know. You know, what we do know is we're following this premise that may not work for us, but we don't think about, does it work for us? Should we try to do something else? For example, you know, you think that, oh, the woman has to cook. Not really, but it's kind of a thing that's kind of expected or at least promoted. Mm-hmm. Well, what if the guy actually enjoys cooking? Or, you know, he's a chef and that's his passion and he doesn't mind it. Well, we can just switch the narrative. The woman doesn't have to actually cook.
Right.
If she doesn't want to.
If that works for us, right.
If that works. But if you're trying to fit into this mold of, oh, the woman has to do XYZ things, man has to do XYZ things, you guys are both putting yourselves in places where you're not happy. So what you should do is, you know, realize it's not us that's wrong, or maybe we do work well together, but this premise we're squeezing into doesn't work for who we are. But we should find something that works for who we are. And I just realized all that when we were talking, where, dang, women have their grievances that are legitimate, and men do too. It's not right. to fight or debate each other on who has it bad, but mm-hmm. try to create something good amongst each other, which I feel like people aren't really doing. Like yeah. we mentioned, Quentin's podcast, everyone's so polarized, everyone's disagreeing, trying right. theirs, but no one's really trying to come up with solutions as to how to work together and create a world that fits them, or create a relationship that fits them.
Yeah, no, this is so true. I think there is a constant narrative between men and women where we're constantly invalidating each other. And if you even think about how relationships end and when people break up, it's always like there's always he said and then she said and then the truth, right? So that's a figure of speech, but essentially two partners in a relationship, there's always one person's point of view of how it went, how it ended. And then there's another person's point of view of how it went and how it ended. And then there's a truth, which is actually the part that we actually will never know. And in my opinion, I do think that has held people back. You know, we argue amongst each other. We argue amongst our friends. And men and women just cannot see eye to eye. And rather than do that, we need to just validate each other's experiences. We need to come together and be like, hey, you know what? You went through that and that's how you felt. And I'm sorry for that. And I acknowledge it. And on the flip side, you know, how can I have you not go through that again? You know, if I'm going to be your partner, how can I help you, you know, to feel more secure, you know, based on the unfortunate things you went through, you know, and it's never that conversation. You know, it's always, like you said, everyone out for self. But another thing I wanted to acknowledge is just, I think the narrative always switches as far as society is concerned. Because, you know, I was sitting here talking about like the 50s or something like that. And you're like, oh, well, I just feel like the men's perspective is not always heard or is not always talked to, right? Talked about. And so mm-hmm. I think I just came to the conclusion. I really just think that the narrative, it depends on what the current narrative is, right? Mm-hmm. I think these struggles always exist. Like you said, I think everyone on equal level experiences struggles. But I think whatever society says is what's the common thing, right? Mm-hmm. So back then, like I said, you know, there's a lot of oppression and the focus wasn't on women. Nowadays, the focus is on women. Like the feminist movement has returned and taken,
kind of highlighted.
Yeah, it's been highlighted, right? And so, yeah, you don't hear a lot about men's experiences anymore. And God forbid if you mention, you know, your experience as a man, oh, misogyny, like, why are you trying to make it about you, right? So I think that is the case now, like that there's more highlight on women. And I don't think it's a bad thing. But I just think that we have to be mindful and we have to always validate each other, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to get conspiratorial. I feel like now there's some money to be made in division. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like, well, yeah, while we're focusing on women at this point in time, mm-hmm. the male suicide rates are, you know, rising and are higher than women's. That's yeah. significant, but we're not going to really, that's something that's talked about or promoted. So I feel like there's just money or some type of benefit to be made in division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like, exactly. That's why it has to be promoted so much.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hopefully that can change. But if not, I feel like as an individual, you really have to make a conscious effort to try to alter your mindset and kind of unlearn a couple of things that you've, you know, been yeah. taught or that you've seen, and try to relearn healthier habits and mindsets that mm-hmm. promote positive relationships, whether it's romantic or otherwise, to try to come together, not always disagree and not always be selfish or out for your own gain at someone else's expense. Like you said, the LA mindset.
Yeah.
It should be more, not to be like so kumbaya with it, but it really is how we grow as a community and continue to survive and thrive.
Yeah, because, oh my God, I fought, like something I fought with in, you know, relationships or even meeting people is like, but like, I have such a big heart and I think I love love and I just am naturally a person who wants to, you know, I like to give in relationships. I like to have healthy relationships, you know, like that's something I strive for. But then the other part of me, which is something that again, is like something I have to unlearn is, yeah, well, girl, you need to look out for you, like blah, blah, blah. And you make sure you're getting what you need before you invest in him. And so then I kind of like pull back, right? And I'm like, okay, I gotta like make sure I'm getting what I need, you know? And then I'm like, oh, but I want to do this for this person, or I thought about them today, so I want to do this. And then I want to do it, but then I'm like, no, you're doing too much. Like,
yeah, that second mind. And we all have that, though. I thought guys are the same thing.
It's torture. It's torturous. It's torturous. Like, I'm torturing myself because I'm trying to not be who I really am.
Exactly.
Because I don't trust that, oh, am I getting mine? Right. I don't trust that the person is doing that for me. The other day
when guys say maybe I want to compliment her or be more expressive to her, oh, no, she can see as corny or soft. Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's something that, again, it's so funny that now we're having this conversation, how clearly we can see both sides. And I think we should have more conversations like that.
We definitely got to continue this one, though. How you act when you're dating. How you, are you doing too much? Are you doing too little?
This has been Black Scott.
Love, Jade.
And we have been She Said, He Said.
Don't forget to subscribe and share, y'all.
All right. That's been our time.
Peace.